Warm welcome again to everyone this afternoon, especially those who are visiting with us. Our call to worship this afternoon comes from Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's first sing the hymn that is on page 2 of your bulletin, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Congregation, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ through the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, we worship our God and we do so first by singing from Psalter 124, singing 1, 2, 4, 6, and 7. We turn in our Bibles this afternoon, and first we read from Deuteronomy 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 16, and then from Deuteronomy 21, beginning at verse 18, and lastly we will read from our Heidelberg Catechism from Lord's Day 39. Deuteronomy 5, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. And therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So far the reading from Deuteronomy 5, then turning to Deuteronomy 21, and read from verse 18. Deuteronomy 21, beginning at verse 18. We read there, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who was hanged is accursed of God. So far God's word. Then we read from our catechism, one question and answer, 104, Lord's Day 39, what does God require in the fifth commandment? The answer, that I show all honor, love, fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. So far, the reading from our catechism. Let us confess our faith this afternoon with the words of the Apostles' Creed. And please join with me in making our confession in unison together as we confess our faith in the triune God, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us sing in response from Psalter 423, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. congregation, following the sermon, we will sing together from Psalter 236. 236, and we sing all the stanzas. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in a culture that doesn't like authority. And many historians believe that a significant shift toward authority took place during the 1960s. And we are now, in many ways, reaping what was sown during those years, resulting in open rebellion against almost every kind of authority in the home, in the workplace, in the classroom, in the church, and in society in general. And that may not be an issue that you are particularly wrestling with, but there's no denying that this is precisely what's happening in our culture. There is an epidemic problem of disrespect for parents and for others in authority. It's not uncommon to find young people in our society who are disrespectful in their words and their actions towards their parents and their teachers and so on. And we ought to go out of our way to foster an attitude in our children, not only of respect for us, but of respect for all those in authority over us. And so the fifth commandment is as relevant today as the day that it was given. And so let me read it for you again. Honor your father and your mother. It says, honor your father and your mother. And are in Numbers 5. Let me read it from Numbers 5, actually. From Deuteronomy 5. From Deuteronomy chapter 5, we read, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And we look at this simply under the theme, the fifth commandment, its explanation and its application. But first we look at the explanation of the fifth commandment. And to understand its significance, we must consider its place in the Decalogue. We've already considered the first four commandments and learned that they address our relationship towards God. But now in the next six, that means 60% of the commandments, we are now directed to consider our relationships towards other people. And therefore we learn that following the Lord is in many ways profoundly relational. First in our relationship towards God, and then in our relationship towards our fellow man. And the fact is that these two tables of the law, for that's how we often refer to them, are very closely related. To relate to God appropriately, people must relate to their fellow human beings also appropriately. And John tells us that those who say they love God but hate their neighbor are liars and do not know the truth. And therefore, the fifth commandment, in many ways, you might say it serves as a transition between the first and the second table of the law. And so the place of the fifth commandment shows that honor for parents is the foundation upon which we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in that sense, it shapes all our other human relationships. And so the placement of this commandment shows the special importance even of the family in the Christian life. And if you look through the commandments, you realize that these ones which speak of relationships, that many of them refer to our relationship with our own family members. And you can see how it's often phrased that way, isn't it? For instance, the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. It speaks of in the last commandment as well, of the relationship to one's wife and so on, and to one's husband. It says, not covet your neighbor's wife, and so on. And so this idea that the fifth commandment is functions in the same way in the second table of the law, you might say, as the first commandment functions in the first table of the law. And you remember what the first commandment was, is that you're to worship God alone. And so the first foundation, John Calvin says, of righteousness is the worship of God. And when this is overthrown, all the remaining parts of righteousness, like pieces of a shattered and fallen building, are mangled and scattered. Apart from the fear of God, man do not preserve equity and love among themselves. And therefore, we call the worship of God the beginning and the foundation of righteousness. And so just as the relationship with the Lord is the beginning and the foundation of the first four commandments, so this relationship to our parents is the beginning, you could say, of the second table and is foundational to our society.
And we might say, if this commandment is broken and defied, then it inevitably will result in departure from every other human relationship. And so just as our relationship with the Lord begins with the first commandment, so our relationship with others begins with our father and our mother. Augustine emphasized the importance of the fifth commandment by posing this rhetorical question. He said, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? And the answer is presumably not, because the relationship between a parent and their children is the first and primary relationship. And if there is no love and respect and honor in that most basic relationship, then will we really find any love, respect, and honor in any of our other relationships? Under ordinary circumstances, the first people a child knows are his parents. And so God intends the family and the structure in that family to be, in many ways, the way we function in society. And so the family and our relationship to our parents, you might say, is the place where we are cared for. It's the place where we are protected. It's the place where we are governed. It's the place where we worship and so on. And so if we do not respect the authority that God has placed in the home, then the result will also be that we will probably not respect it anywhere else either. And that's exactly what you see, isn't it? I'm sure the parents at school can, or the teachers at school can tell you that those families which cause the most difficulty in the context of the classroom are those families where the child is not taught to honor authority in their home. And so God's plan for preserving the family and even society itself calls us to keep the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And since God placed others in authority over us, it's our duty, as our catechism says, to show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. And so in both the description of the Ten Commandments, those found in Exodus and that which we read in Deuteronomy, God commands us to honor your father and your mother. Now, normally when we think about this commandment, we immediately think about obedience to their parents' instruction. And that's a legitimate application of the fifth commandment, for the Apostle Paul himself even makes that application in Ephesians 6, verse 3, when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so obedience is a way, but only one way in which we're to honor our parents. But yet the concept of honor conveys something even greater than obedience, doesn't it? For what is honor? What is honor? Well, biblically, the word honor refers to weight or significance. To honor our parents means we attach great worth to them. We consider them to be of great value, and our relationship with them is of fundamental importance. And so that means we don't take our parents lightly, but we regard them with the greatest reverence and honor and value. Now, we can learn what honor looks like by examining the passages of Scripture where judgments fall upon those who dishonor their parents. We read one of them in Deuteronomy. As God revealed the law that would govern the whole nation of Israel, He included a penalty for those who would flagrantly and unrepentantly violate the fifth commandment. And it may shock us to realize that this penalty against those who defy the fifth commandment is the same one as for murder and other horrendous crimes. We read in Exodus 21, 15 and 17, and he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And we read in Leviticus 20, verse 9, for everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And then we read that passage from Deuteronomy 21. where the parents of a rebellious son are told to bring that rebellious son to the gates of the city and to the elders of the city, and there they were to chastise him and they were to admonish him, and if he would not repent, they were to put that evil away from among them. Why was this penalty so serious? Because the Lord understood that if there was rebellion at this most basic commandment to honor one's father and one's mother, that it would lead to the degeneration of the nation of Israel itself, and it would lead to chaos, and it would lead to apostasy, and it would lead to destruction. And isn't that precisely what we're seeing in our day and age? To think that many today expect rebellion from our children and teenagers is abominable in the sight of God. They would have been stoned in Old Testament Israel. How can anyone think that defiance against authority is not serious? The Word of God shows how seriously God takes the fifth commandment. How then can we treat it in any way but serious and not flippantly? The book of Proverbs also displays the horror and the consequences of disobeying parents. He who mistreats, we read in Proverbs 19, his father and mother, and chases away his mother, is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Or whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in deep darkness, it says in Proverbs 20. Or in Proverbs 30, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and young eagles will eat it. And therefore, to honor parents is exactly the opposite of what we read in these verses. To honor parents means that we respect and we revere them. We speak well of them. We treat them with kindness and gentleness and dignity and esteem. And we are to ensure that they are cared for. And we are to make provisions for them when necessary. One writer says this. He says, honor is an attitude accompanied by actions that say to your parents, you are worthy. You have value. You are the person God sovereignly placed in my life. And all that and much more is bound up in this little word which means to honor. And so we might say the basic requirement of the fifth commandment is not obedience, but it is to honor. Because eventually we are no longer obliged to obey our parents in the same way. And even as young children, there are times when we cannot or we must not obey our parents. To say it another way, there are times when to disobey our parents is actually the way to honor them. That comes when obeying parents is no longer appropriate. The task of parents is to raise children, to become independent, to function outside of parental authority. And in most cases, the parent-child relationship will be permanently altered at the moment of marriage, when a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And as a child becomes independent of his parents, he leaves their oversight and their authority, and he no longer owes them obedience in the same way or to the same degree, but he still owes them honor. And there are other occasions, even when we're in the context of the home, when obedience is wrong because the parents' demands are sinful. And then we must obey God rather than man. But yet, even in these instances, we still need to honor our parents. But to participate in sin when they request us to do so is actually to bring shame upon them rather than honor. You see how that works? So the pattern we're called to follow is always to honor our parents. And isn't this the way our Lord Jesus even related to his parents? He was subject to them. We read in Luke chapter 2. He who was greater than the angels, he who was greater than Mary or Joseph, he subjected himself to his parents and he honored them. And this should quiet any objections that we have to honoring those in authority over us, even when they fail us, even when they present themselves as less than honorable. There's an infinite difference between the Lord Jesus and his earthly parents, so much so that we can't even imagine a greater chasm that's between two individuals, a child and his parents. A greater distance is impossible to imagine. But He still honored them. He still honored them. And so if we want our children to honor us and to obey us, then most certainly this teaching about Jesus Himself is fundamental, isn't it? And so this honor must not only be external, but it must be internal as well. We are to honor them from our hearts. We're not to do so as eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And this type of honor can only happen then when we have hearts that have been changed by the Holy Spirit Himself. This commandment doesn't just require an outward obedience where we do what our parents ask us to do, but that we have respect and we have love and we have care for our parents that God has placed over us. And so this commandment addresses our attitude of our heart. But let's consider some application now. And we're going to apply it in a rather different way. In the past, we've spoken extensively. I look back at some old sermons and we've spoken some about how children are to obey their parents. And we've addressed that when we've gone through our series in Ephesians, for instance, children, obey your parents in the Lord, and this is proper. But today we're going to focus upon how we might honor our elderly parents as an application of this commandment. So there's so much to say, but there's enough to say with that. So we live in a culture which despises old age and often despises old people. People pursue a fountain of youth today, all their life long, and most of us don't look forward to a day when our hair is gray and our bodies break down and our skin is all wrinkled. Age is something that few appreciate in our culture today. And this often results in the neglect and sometimes even the abuse of the elderly, a despising of those who have gone before us. Now, that's generally not true among us, I know. But yet we must recognize this pattern in the world. And we must recognize that what lives in the world is often what lives and eventually comes into the church. And so we must guard ourselves against it. Years ago, I read a book. It was a fictional novel and it had a real impact on me. It was called Winter Flight. I don't know where I got it. I think I got it from one of my aunts or uncles, and I had forgotten about it till earlier this year. And so I went to try to find it. It took a considerable amount of time to find it, but I found a couple copies on Amazon. And when I read it almost 30 years ago now, or more than 30 years ago, 35 maybe, I thought, well, this is surely fantasy. This is not reality. You see, it was a story of a young boy who had disabilities and his aging grandfather. And both on the same day, they received a notice to come to the euthanizing clinic because their usefulness to society had ended and they were a burden to the system. And I read this story being shocked by it, and he was imagining a society where there was no more honor for the elderly and there was a despising of anybody with handicaps. And now some 35 years later, this does not seem such a fantasy anymore, but increasingly something that could happen. We live in a day and age when older people in our society are increasingly being viewed as expendable. This is a terrifying trend, and we should resist it with all of our might. But within this particular trend, there's a problem of the attitudes of many young adult children who don't want to assume any care or responsibility for their parents. But the fifth commandment requires us to honor our father and our mother also as they become older, and treat them with the utmost respect and dignity. Now, what that looks like in particular cases is not so easy, but we must keep this principle in mind. Honor your father and honor your mother. And so God's commandments are perfectly clear in what they say and broadly in what they require. But yet implementing this in a practical sense in the nitty-gritty of life can often pose a challenge to us. It can take a lot of prayer and discussion and creativity. And this is exactly the case with the fifth commandment. We have to consider how it applies. How we as older children, perhaps old or young adults, or even nearing retirement age ourselves, how do we care for our parents? How do we honor our parents according to the fifth commandment? What does this look like? Well, let me give a few thoughts on the matter. Let's consider a few practical ways. The first is, speak appreciatively of your elderly parents. Rather than speaking negatively about them, speak positively. We heard that in the Old Testament that the penalty for cursing one's father and mother is the same penalty as assaulting them or killing them. For the root of this sin is the same thing, isn't it? We need to speak well of our elderly parents. We need to speak well of them while they're alive. And we need to speak well of them after they have died. We need to speak well to our siblings, to our spouses, to our children. We need to speak well of them in our communities. We are to model a counterculture kind of honor and respect that has long since been missing in our society. Let us speak well of our parents and refuse to speak evil of them. But secondly, we can honor our parents by seeking their counsel and advice. You see, while it isn't automatic, the Bible often associates age with wisdom, while it associates youth with foolishness. And you can think of Proverbs that recount that. And this means that we are wise if we seek the counsel and advice of our parents and other elderly people in the congregation, because often they are a fountain of wisdom. They have lived longer. They have experienced more. And if they have lived rightly, they have benefited much in accumulating wisdom and understanding regarding life in this world. And we would be foolish if we did not seek counsel and their input when we're facing especially major decisions in our lives. And it is honoring to your parents when you seek advice and counsel from them when you're facing a particular issue. It doesn't mean you always need to heed the counsel, but it most certainly is honoring. Personally, it gives me a great deal of delight when one of my married sons, I have two of them, he calls me up and he might ask me for some counsel or advice on a particular practical, usually a practical matter of life. And teenagers, this is something you can already begin at home. As you mature, you want to be more and more independent. And so sometimes you think the way to become independent is to resist the oversight of your parents more and more. But that's a sign of youthful folly, isn't it? To rush into things. But you know, if you go to your parents and you say, "Mom, Dad, I have this challenge, I have this difficulty, I have this problem. What do you think? What do you think about it?" And now what's interesting is that your parents will respect you more and your relationship will be more positive and so much better when you relate to them this way, because you are honoring them in the way that they are meant to be honored. No differently than when you're married and you leave the home, where you would approach your parents asking for their counsel, direction and advice. This is the way you honor them. If you do this, young people, in your home already, it will solidify a relationship that will be very dear to you. I'll guarantee it. So when you have challenges, go to your mom or go to your dad and say, "Mom, Dad, can you help me with this?" That shows humility of spirit, doesn't it? And it shows an honoring of your parents. Think about it. But thirdly, we must support our aging parents when necessary, practically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially, in a way that continually reflects our honor of them. David writes in Psalm 71, verse 9, he says this, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." You can just sense the cry of the heart there, can't you? And this is an expression that expresses his fears, that he was weighed down about, he was concerned about, he wondered what the future would hold, and he worried about old age. And why did he worry about old age? Because he thought he would become isolated. He would be alone. And he had this fear of abandonment by his family and his community. And he experienced many challenges. And this is a real fear that many elderly people have. Do not forsake me. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. It's a real fear today. Because how many old people have been abandoned in nursing homes and in hospitals and in care facilities by their children? It is a serious problem. And anybody who works in a nursing home, if you ask them about, does so-and-so get visits, they'll say that it's a rare family that comes to see them. And so let us not forsake them in their old age, and let us assure them of not only our love, but of our continual honor of them. And let us engage them and help them practically and spiritually and emotionally and even financially if necessary. As our parents become older, they become increasingly dependent. They lose their independence. And in many ways, they become dependent upon their children as their children were once dependent upon them. And so care for them. Care for them generally with the same love and care that they cared for you. It should not only be our responsibility, it should be our joy, shouldn't it? To care for our elderly parents. Well, that's just a few thoughts. But maybe you said, well, my parents, you know, they're difficult people. You know, they're not so honorable. They've hurt me. They've abused me. They've neglected me. And that's reality in some contexts, isn't it? Horrible situations where mothers and fathers deny a child their basic care and protection. And what do you do then when that's the case? Well, maybe you have to begin to honor them by first forgiving them. Forgiving them. Doesn't the Catechism talk about that? That we need to deal with their infirmities. And I know that in some contexts this is very difficult. But realize that there are no perfect parents. And there is no doubt that your parents have sinned against you on occasion. They may have judged you wrongly. They may have had unreasonable expectations of you. They may have administered discipline unfairly or abusively. They may have made unwise decisions for you, or worse, they may have abused you. And some of these things were probably done because they loved themselves more than they loved you. Let's be honest. And they may have left very deep wounds from which you will never fully recover. But now you have a choice. You can be controlled by anger and bitterness towards your parents, or you can be molded by love and forgiveness towards them. And this is actually possible, isn't it? For we serve and we're called to imitate a forgiving Savior. And we've been forgiven, and so we then are able to forgive our parents. We just reflected on the fact a few moments ago that Jesus was willing to subject himself to his earthly parents. Now, his earthly parents were sinners. They were sinners, and they no doubt sinned against Jesus as they brought him up. Imagine bringing the Lord Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, and raising him in your home. What challenges that would be, because we're sinners, and how that they would have sinned against him time and time and time again. But Jesus, he honors them. And then think of the Lord Jesus when he was on the cross, and even as he was being crucified and they were driving the nails through his hands, and he cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so as we stand at the foot of the cross and we consider such a Savior, then who are we to withhold forgiveness from our parents? We honor them actually by extending grace and forgiveness to them. Now, even then, in extreme cases, there are times when we need to distinguish between the person and the position, don't we? Because even if honoring our parents through a relationship would be impossible or unwise, and that most certainly happens sometimes, we should still honor them as our father and as our mother, as the position that God has given to them over us. It's the same way, you know, in the military, the soldiers, they are to respect the rank of those who have been placed over them. They cannot defy the rank of one who has been placed over them because they don't like the man who represents that rank. They must honor him. And so we need to honor one who is placed in this position. And it's sad but true that sometimes parents too have acted inappropriately. And there are times when children too, as they become adults, there's situations where they need to withdraw for their own protection or the protection of their family. That's a reality. But nevertheless, we still need to honor them. And you might think, well, this is impossible. You don't know my parents. You don't know how my parents are. You don't know what they have done to me. This is impossible. But the Lord asks the impossible. He asks the impossible of us so that we depend on His grace. And what He asks would be impossible without the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. Giving honor to parents may be at times humanly impossible, but the call goes out nevertheless. Honor your father and your mother in spite of the difficulties of it. And it reminds us of our need for grace in our own lives, doesn't it? So God calls every child of every age to honor their father and their mother. He calls us to honor them as a practical outworking of honoring Him. You see how fundamental this commandment is? As the first commandment is fundamental to the first table of the law, this fifth commandment is fundamental to the second table of the law. God shows how important it is, isn't it? Now, ultimately, this commandment was perfectly fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ. And to Him we can turn. We can turn as parents and confess our sins and our failures and our weaknesses. We can turn to Him as school teachers, as pastors, as elders, looking for forgiveness for the way in which we've conducted our office of authority. But we can also turn to Him confessing our failure to honor our father and our mother, to failure to honor those who have been placed in authority over us, and ask Him to give His grace and His Holy Spirit to us so that we might also live in a way which speaks something of the honor that our parents are due because of what God has commanded us to do. Let us trust and rest in Him for that need. Amen.
We are thankful for this commandment, which gives us instruction how that we are to relate to our father and our mother that you have given to us in your kind providence. Lord, as we reflect upon it, then we must confess that we have not honored them perfectly in accordance with your law. There are times when we have grumbled and complained against them, when we're younger, even rebelled against them. And to this, we acknowledge our sin and are confessing it to you, that you would forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from it. We also acknowledge, O Lord, that sometimes we have become impatient, or we have dealt harshly, or we have not dealt respectfully or with honor towards our elderly parents. And Lord, we pray that you give us patience and kindness and meekness and gentleness in the way that we relate to our older parents, also those who may be dependent upon us in whatever way, that we would show such love and care for them that they would always feel our honor and respect of them. Lord, we ask that you forgive us when we have not done so. And we pray, Lord, that we would not be, as a church, would ever degenerate into what we see in our culture, where there's an abandonment of parents and a despising of old age. We would have great respect for our parents. Lord, we pray that in this way, too, that it would be made known that we honor authority that you have placed in our lives. And we pray that you'll be with our children, too, that they would relate properly to us in our homes, so that as they leave the home, too, that this would be built into their heart, that they would know how to relate to those who have been placed over them. Lord, forgive us. Forgive our children, too, of their sin in this regard. Be with us through this week. Give us a blessed time as a congregation on Wednesday evening with the youth. And we're thankful for their energy, for their zeal. And we've already seen the set displayed in the gym. And it reminds us, O Lord, of what is to come. And we pray that you give us a blessed evening with them. It would be a great joy. And that we would rejoice in what they present to us. And they would enjoy that presentation. And it would lead even to the deepening of our relationships with them as well. Lord, may we come and hear and not participate in the evil of this day and age, where there is a glorying in death, that we would see that there is life in Christ. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name alone.